Is Twitter the world's most expensive hobby? I'm David Brancaccio in New York, characterizing it as a defeat for Wall Street and corporations that advertise on social media. Elon Musk has put together a deal to buy the short message platform Twitter for $44 billion, with stockholders getting about 40% more for their shares than the price just before Musk announced his intentions. That said, the purchase price for Musk and friends is well below Twitter's level in the past year. Musk now plans to take the company private, but what does that mean? Let's consult Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Morning, Professor.
Hello, David.
First of all, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme for Elon Musk, is it?
This is more like a hobby in which he doesn't want to lose too much money. I mean, this is a $44 billion sailboat.
In other words, he likes to communicate directly with the public. Twitter lets him do that, and he has some strong views about free speech and wants to remake the company. But a key thing here is he's going to take Twitter off the publicly traded stock market. What does that do for him?
What that gives him is a lot of freedom to be Elon. He doesn't answer to shareholders. He doesn't answer to a board of directors. Ultimately, he answers to people who've lent him a few billion dollars. But day to day, he gets to play with Twitter any way he wants to.
Well, when it's private, he would remake the board, probably completely.
I think the board will end up being a couple of his buddies. He won't be subject to all of the requirements that you have for a public company boards of directors.
All right. And then as a private company, he doesn't have to do those earnings calls each quarter. I mean, he has to do those for Tesla. He probably doesn't love those.
Oh, CEOs hate that ritual of answering questions from equity analysts and, you know, getting poked here and there. He leaves all of that behind, at least for Twitter.
At least for Twitter. But what if you actually own, many people own TWTR stock, yet you won't be able to own it in the future? How's it work?
Well, you get cashed out. You're going to get a check in the mail for $50-something dollars per share, and you will no longer own a piece of Twitter.
Eric Gordon, professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business, thank you so much.
My pleasure, David.
Now, this is a deal but not a done deal and is still subject to regulatory approval. Markets, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 3 to 4 tenths of a percent range. And there is news just now that Fidelity will allow Bitcoin as an option in the 401k retirement plans it offers to companies for their employees. Fidelity's the biggest in this industry, and the move is seen as a major step into the mainstream for the volatile cryptocurrency. Individual employers would have to decide if they'll allow Bitcoin through these company-sponsored plans, and some will see this as too risky.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to take the Marketplace Economic Pulse, real-time checkups on the health of the economy from a variety of perspectives. Let's see how a black-owned construction business in the Pacific Northwest is doing. Morris Romming is president of O'Neill Construction Group in Portland, Oregon. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, David, for having me.
When we last talked, I think it was last summer, lumber was hard to get. You're also talking about steel. How are shortages now?
Yeah, they actually have not gotten better. We're still looking at extremely long lead times, in some cases up to a year, when you talk about different types of equipment and steel that's needed on projects.
Yeah, and I mean, if steel is hard to get, I mean, are there alternatives for you?
Well, one of the things that we're seeing, and it's actually a positive outcome, is a lot of developers are looking at cross-laminated timber. It's laminated in a way that provides equal or greater strength than steel, which has a better environmental impact, and it's domestically sourced.
You mentioned equipment, like an electrical box, conduit. What do you need?
Yeah, so it is what is needed to basically bring these buildings online. You either have one manufacturer that has a shortage on breakers, and then you have the other manufacturer that has shortages on the main service equipment. So we're in the process of kind of cobbling stuff together. I'm sure everyone's in the same boat where they're trying to make systems work by seeing what pieces and parts they can get from different areas.
Are the suppliers giving you any hints about what the problem is? Is it ships still stuck at sea, or is it factories in Asia? What do you think?
It's mostly factories. It's mostly workforce shortages. I believe what happened is after the pandemic, a lot of those workers did not come back to their previous jobs.
What about people for your business? You looking for more people?
Yes, we have workforce shortages as well. And probably some of the biggest challenges is with the journeyman electricians, the journeyman carpenters. They are continuing to retire out. School systems and stuff are trying to look at doing more to encourage graduates out of high school to get into the industry. But that is a slow go as well.
Taking the economic pulse from a variety of perspectives here, Morris Romming is CEO of O'Neill Construction Group in Portland, Oregon. Thank you very much, and let's talk again soon.
All right. Thank you for inviting me again, David.
And the Biden administration just said that in the coming weeks, it will more than double the number of pharmacies that carry the COVID antiviral pill Paxlovid from Pfizer. It's 90% effective in preventing death or hospitalization. This is a treatment, not the vaccine. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.